Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for this review of the news. It will be a chill show, not much happening. There are some feminists who are not happy about the state of America because they have lost their abortion rights and they refuse to celebrate July 4th. Fuck everything. No reason to celebrate July 4th. I told my husband that I do not want to celebrate the upcoming 4th of July holiday. I said I would like if both he and the kids didn't celebrate it either. I have never asked for anything like this. My reasoning? Why celebrate freedom when mine was just taken from not only me, but also half the population of this country? He knew my views on abortion and how strongly I feel about bodily autonomy. He told me he would think about it. I told him this is something I want to support on. He told me he understands and my reasoning makes sense. My oldest understands, but he is upset we won't light fireworks. I haven't said anything to my youngest yet. I'm raw, scared, and burned out. I do not know if not celebrating July 4th will make me feel better. But I know even faking it and doing it for my kids at this point is not something I'm willing to do and will just make me miserable. All right, well, don't celebrate July 4th, but it's too bad that she feels the need to impose it on her family. I just realized I forgot to update my social network with the link to the show, so I'll be doing this while I speak to you guys on the regular chat to make sure that people are aware that there is a show. Sometimes I forget. So today I've been continuing building my little shed for logs. And that's pretty much it. It was a cool day, not too hot. I'm very excited because I've bought something from Amazon. I will be, and I'll be doing a show about it if it works, if I can share some useful knowledge from this experiment. I have ordered from Amazon the Dayrell Series 7000 tube radiator. I have, you know, 2 years ago I noticed after staying with Mama JF in this region, I noticed that the tap water was extremely cold during the summer. And I was like, this is cold that I'd like to have in my house. Is there a way I can pump some water and make a kind of AC with it, but an AC that doesn't consume electricity? An AC that just costs the pump, and by pumping the water that's already cold under the ground, hopefully I'll be able to have a fan, pass some cold water in there. And in principle, I think, I've seen it on YouTube, there are some people who have tried it. It should work. And it should work to refresh the home during the summer without the cost of an AC. I have an AC, so it's not... And yeah, heat pumps are also the best, but heat pumps still consume some degree of electricity. I'm thinking about having cold come in the home at zero cost, except the cost of carrying the water and the cost of the fan, of course. I'm interested in seeing how this performs. I'll be recording in video when I do my experiments. I'll be placing thermometers to detect just how it works. I'll be intelligently controlling the whole thing so that I don't know if I determine that, you know, pumping 10 seconds of water in it every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, every hour, I don't know. I'll be measuring all of this and hopefully I'll be able to teach you guys how it works. Based says, what about moisture from this mold? I'm not super worried about moisture or mold. It's like a sink, basically, so it's there will be water circulating. It will get rejected in the wastewater. There's no reason for mold to develop inside. However, if it becomes so cold that it attracts humidity and there's condensation on it, then all that would be needed is to do like a regular AC and get rid of that water, probably have a container below so that it flows out of the house. That is not a big problem. That's very easy. Dino Legovic says, no, heat pump are not AC. Well, and Firestarter says, heat pump are just AC that can also heat. Well, are heat pumps AC? The same technology is there. With the heat pumps, it can be inverted. So you can be on the cold side or you can be on the hot side. But the fundamental technology is the same in that it's electricity leading to condensation of a gas which transports heat with it. So it will either the condensation moment will be on the side of the house, in which case the gas, I have to figure it out physically in my head. If the gas contracts, the gas gets rid of heat, I think. I'm not sure. When it condenses, it either gets rid of heat, or when it expands, it gets rid of heat, but one of those. And depending on whether you do that in the side of the house or in the side outside, this will lead to either pumping the heat from outside inside or pumping the heat from inside outside. Dino Legovic says, heat pumps use a different gas. Maybe they do. I mean, there's a couple of gas that you can use to accomplish this, but it's the same fundamental principle. It's a gas that when it evaporates, contracts, or expand, it has a corresponding amount of heat that leaves and enters the gas. John Drake says, AC is essentially a condenser and evaporator. Exactly. So there's this amazing thing with heat pumps that they can outperform the second law of thermodynamics. They don't really break the second law of thermodynamics, because the reality is you're pumping that heat from somewhere, and that means that the heat pump is not a closed system. But because you are not producing neither the heat nor the cold, you are truly just changing, displacing the heat and the cold, you can obtain a better performance with it. So for a given amount of electricity, you can pump in more energy than that electricity would have produced if you had used it, say, to heat a resistance element. Firestarter says, oh my god, you all are very wrong about what AC are. Well, explain to us, what is the mechanism of AC? It seems to me that there's some condensation going on for sure. That's why it leaks water, isn't it the case? And it seems that it's the same principle in a fridge, basically. All right. Tameo says, lol, that will not cool your house. Bro. Do you even know what you're talking about? I have watched all of the do-it-yourself. I have watched all of the do-it-yourself YouTube videos on the subject. I conclude that there's something to be done with this. Now, I don't care. Will this one be enough for my whole house? Certainly not. But I touch my water and it's cold. Okay, he was not saying this to me. He was saying this to Pineapple Platypotamus. All right. Based says, Jeff, it may be time to create a list of products you talk about on the show, like the gas detectors, the portable EKG device. Yes, I've been recommending so many products on the show. I didn't do a show yesterday, but there was this that I would have talked about. Jordan Peterson banned from Twitter. He's not officially banned from the side of Twitter, but he's he's being asked to withdraw his tweet, and he says he won't withdraw his tweet. It was a tweet about Elliot Page, who changed his name from, she was a girl, changed her name to a boy name. She's an actress, and as Jordan Peterson calls her, an actress slash actor. I don't know the story of Elliot Page, but I mean, Jordan Peterson has a good video. That's a pleasing video to watch, because he goes through all of the consequences of the modern control of language, and he's like, do I call her, she, he, and so he says her, she, he, they all the time. And it's kind of Kafkaesque what Jordan Peterson has to say in this video. As far as I know, it hasn't been banned by YouTube, but yet he basically takes stance to say that sex change surgery is evil, it's criminal. And as he points out, you know, don't hang on the technical meaning criminal here. Perhaps a scientific experiment on Jews were legal under Adolf Hitler. That's his example. And then he says, so they were not criminal, but if you ask me my opinion, I would tell you that they are criminal. Same thing with the sex change surgery. So it's a good video, but I was reminding people on my Gab, never forget that Jordan Peterson denied Faith Goldie a platform that she was already promised because she was too hot material, merely due to the fact that she was once in a conversation with someone expressing hate and that she had remained silent. What Twitter is doing right now to Jordan Peterson is not fundamentally different to what he did to Faith Goldie, and never apologized for and still stands by. The hero warrior against compelled speech has done some compelling of his own. We should never forget this about Jordan Peterson. All of the arguments that he's made to censor Faith Goldie apply here. He was saying, oh, she had a journalistic duty to contest the hate that she was hearing on the other side. She had a journalistic duty to be responsible enough not to show herself with that other person in the conversation. Those are all arguments that Twitter could do. Twitter could say, well, you know, as a psychologist, Jordan Peterson has a responsibility not to go against the recommended medical procedure of sex change surgery. And we have a responsibility not to be seen as collaborating with him in misgendering trans people. So I want to be enthusiastic about the quest against compelled speech of Jordan Peterson, but it lacks credibility in the face of his past actions. Paladin is sending a super chat, $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. By the way, Odyssey has been working great. I closed the show 2 days ago and I forgot to ask people, have you experienced buffering? But it seems that the only buffering we've experienced is like 2-3 seconds here and there. But it seems that the buffering issue may be solved. Correct me if I'm wrong. And let me know on the chat today if some of you are experiencing buffering. But I feel that we are past it. So I'm super happy. And of course, whenever you send the super chats through Odyssey, they take a little cut. It's very small, but it helps them fund the show and fund their platform. And that's very good for me. I'm super happy about this. I want Odyssey to be making money. I want people to be encouraged to use the Odyssey super chat, because it's the best way, it's the most efficient way you're ever going to send me money, even compared with PayPal, Patreon. It's really one of the lowest rates I've seen in the business. Paladin sends $25. He says, what would it take to have a more in-depth conversation about the nature of God as it applies to addiction and recovery? You are missing some basic elements, and I believe that the logic of alcoholism, my term, would ignite your intellect. Rand Dawson and I have the same issue. Well, I'm always up for discussion. So if you want to appear on the show, if you because Paladin, I've been arguing. I believe you're the guy I've been arguing with on comments on the previous shows. Because he was some guy was telling me, I don't know if it's Paladin, I think it was. Some guy was telling me, JF, you have to listen to the story of these people who are saved from alcoholism by God, and you have to give credence to this. And my answer is no, I don't, and no, it's not a proof of God. And so I don't know if you're not satisfied with that answer and you would like to challenge me or to bring points, yeah, come on the show. Now, how we organize this, the best way is if you can install Discord, join my Discord server and send me a DM, and we will organize a moment where you could appear on the show. Or if you don't want it to be pre-scheduled like this, you just come on any Ask Me Anything, and I always am up for receiving guests and questions through Discord during the Ask Me Anything. So however you like it, I'm totally up for having that discussion more in depth with you. By the way, Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chat, so don't hesitate to use the dollar button under the chat. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description. And Robert Paulson has sent a super chat already on Entropy. He says, one moment. In my opinion, the closest person to you regarding the output of your ideology is Varg. Last show you said, community is matriarchal. Can you expand on this? Varg says this is why civilization is unstable. Thoughts? Well, yeah, I mean, very interesting question, I should specify. Not all forms of community are matriarchal in nature. Religious community and trading like I buy some beef from you, you buy something from me. These things are not matriarchal, they are patriarchal in nature. And religion, half and half, because in a religious community, you have both men and females playing their roles, and both of them get engaged in some form of community organizing. But trading is mostly a male thing. You know, trading between farmer and stuff. So I don't say that any form of community is matriarchal. When I say community is matriarchal, I mean it in the modern sense of your child is the child of the community. The modern sense of abandoning and delegating the care of your children and also the care of yourself to a certain extent through social welfare, the dependence on the state, the dependence on public schools, the socializing with the goal of exposing children to much more social interactions that they actually evolved to handle, really, because children have not evolved to handle 30 people around them at all time and 600 people around them at recreation time for a whole 8 hours. That is not how children evolved. So that sense of community is matriarchal because it constitutes basically the means by which modern women are abandoning their workload and trying to and believing that this workload will be better handled by the state. And that includes not just public school and how we treat children, how we hyper-socialize children, but also how we our women are dependent on the social welfare state. So the idea that you can abandon your husband because someone is going to give you a check every month, especially if you have children, you'll get a bigger check. That is matriarchal. Thomas Howard says, any sufficiently advanced intellect is indistinguishable from insanity. That is interesting. Dino Legovic says, I enjoy a lot of Peterson's work and thoughts and have much sympathy for his struggles, but his embrace of homosexuals adopting and raising children is too much for me. Yeah, the whole question of homosexual adoption is unfortunately taken on the wrong side by the intellectuals these days. They look at data and they're going to look at, oh, well, let's look at the amount of abuse. Oh, the amount of abuse is equal, therefore equal quality, therefore it's fine. First, there is a lot of neglect for children that doesn't properly get accounted for as abuse. You know, how if for example, a given treatment or a given condition in a scientific experiment was to lead to a higher likelihood, say, of being trans or being homosexual, we wouldn't put this in the box abuse. We would put this in the box of, oh, everything is good. That being said, these people growing into adulthood will be faced with higher likelihood of suicide. So one of the problems I take with this supposedly equal treatment by homosexual parents is we don't do enough follow-up, and we don't do the follow-up deep enough to even know that that's true. So that's the first thing I would criticize from Jordan's position. The second thing is, whenever you recommend policy in the domain of adoption, you have to understand that we are not in a situation where we are looking for parents, and we absolutely need adoptive parents. The reality is there's kind of a harsh competition for the children that are available. And very often what happens is that you'll end up having the children that are the most desirable adopted extremely quickly, and the children that are visibly less desirable because of various characteristics that people just instinctively reject. Could be handicaps of all kind, race, all sorts of factors lead to a child basically being undesired by prospective adoptive parents. So we find ourselves in a situation where there's actually quite a flow of adoptive parents that are already available, but that they don't quite commit to wanting the children that the state would want them to keep. And those are, of course, the most violent, the most aggressive, the oldest, and those who happen to be either handicapped or to be from a different race than the main race of the nation, which leads them to attract less prospective adoptive parents. So you have to understand, when you suggest that homosexuals should adopt, you are talking about expanding the pool of potential adoptive parents to a massive amount of people. You're creating demand on the market for children. And that demand will have negative consequences, one of which is that the state will feel increasingly willing to kidnap these children from their parents. So whenever there's more availability on the prospective adoptive parent side, you're going to create a situation where the agent at the CPS will be much more likely to find parents incompetent, even through lying if needed. Because there are a bunch of people who work in these sectors and in academia who truly believe that a child should be transferred to a non-genetically related family. That way we can equalize society and make it better. Of course, their better is more equal, but everyone pulled down by the fact that they don't get to know their biological parents. So because of these two reasons, I think it's extremely unwise to go out and say, oh, the data, the science is clear. Homosexual couples can adopt. Have you considered the fact that the science may not be as clear as you think, and we may be deceived here? And second, have you considered the fact that you are creating a market for the kidnapping of children? John Drake says, many single mothers reason their children for keeping them from quality men. That's my theory anyway. Oh, I mean, when you get into the single mothers looking for boyfriends with a child already there, holy shit, is that the narcissism and the just the crappy nature of humanity shows in all its glory in these moments. Some random bloke says, hi JF, are you working on any new books? Well, I've been working on The Moral Signal for a while, but it's not been advancing recently. I have to get back to it and just do the last run. It's mostly written, but I have to reread and rewrite sections, and I haven't got to it because I have so much joy in my life, so much things to care for, that it's been hard. But at the same time, you know, I enjoy all these moments, and I know that when a window of opportunity, and it's probably showing right now, where Mama JF is sparing me a lot of things on the home, so she's taking a lot on her shoulders. And so I think that right now is a good moment to go back to my writing. Robert Paulson says, how do you demonstrate to the adoption agency that you are prospective parents rather than prospective groomers? You don't. You don't have to, because you will not be treated as a prospective groomer unless you are a single man, a single heterosexual white male. Then it's basically impossible to have to be successful at an adoption request. But if you are a homosexual couple, if you are a minority, if you are a heterosexual couple with a leftist woman in it, then the adoption agencies will trust you, and then you will be on their list. But it's this domain is filled with basically SJWs. A lot of LGBT people end up in social worker in these fields, and they basically bring all of the bigotry that you could expect against men. Oratio Orgeltrap says, JF, you should have Sean Last on to discuss the behavioral genetics of homosexuality. I don't think I'll be taking much guests, if any, this summer, but perhaps when we bring back guests at some point, I could. Thomas Howard says, single mothers introducing their young sons to a new uncle every weekend is the main reason for the difficulties in relationships between young men and women these days. If a man can't respect his mother, he will never respect women in general. It's definitely a psychological issue. I don't know if it works through the mechanism that you suggest of respecting his mother, but definitely there's something pathetic about seeing an old woman basically scratch the bottom of the drawer of the dating scene at 35 years old. It is absolutely pathetic, and yes, children who see this must be absolutely annoyed. Gavin Newsom is running that ad on Fox News. It's an ad that is interesting because it shows where the left is headed. They're going to suddenly claim back liberty. After imposing the vaccine on everyone, suddenly the left goes full libertarianism.
It's Independence Day, so let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom, it's under attack in your state. Your Republican leaders, they're banning books, making it harder to vote. restricting speech in classrooms, even criminalizing women and doctors. I urge all of you living in Florida to join the fight, or join us in California, where we still believe in freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to choose, freedom from hate, and the freedom to love. Don't let them...
You don't even have the freedom to... California is about to cancel lawnmowers. You won't even have the freedom to have a gas-based lawnmower. So it's amazing to see how the left is willing to return to that discourse, because we've seen what they've done. And as I announced 1 year ago, approximately, I said they're just going to stop the COVID stuff and they're going to act like it never happened. That's what they're doing right now. They're acting like it never happened, that they didn't decide to control our bodies, but they did. The news today is that Russia asserts full control over the Luhansk region with the fall of Lysychansk. Amazing progression by the Russians. They were at Severodonetsk a week or two ago. They completed this, and now they're completing Lysychansk. And the original goal of Vladimir Putin, which was to reconquer and defend the DPR and the LPR, looks like it will be totally accomplished. LPR, Luhansk region, being completely covered for, because it had happened. The Ukrainian army had previously taken some territory from LPR. They were progressing against LPR, left to its own devices. But now, with the support of the Russian army, Luhansk has been totally taken over. And DPR, I don't even know if they have it all. There might be a little border to combat, push back Ukrainian forces. But I would say 70% of the original goal of Vladimir Putin is certainly accomplished. Maybe some pushing back left to do. And in fact, more than the original goal, because Vladimir Putin has succeeded at having a band closing the land bridge to Crimea. So the whole southern Ukraine is dominated, other than Mykolaiv and Kherson, Mykolaiv and Odessa. So it looks like it's a success based on the original goals, although the Western press has been constantly moving the goalpost and making us believe that a Kiev assault had to happen for Vladimir Putin to win. But it looks like Vladimir Putin was happy with just respecting his originally stated conquest goals. Meanwhile, Russia itself is being attacked on its territory. Kremlin says four dead after deliberate Ukrainian missile attack on Russian border city. It's again the city of Belgorod. This is a city where there were attacks before, but they were targeting fuel facilities. But now four people have died in an attack of a civilian center of Belgorod. Russian authorities are saying that a series of strikes rocked one of its cities near the border with Ukraine. Russia is calling it a deliberate Ukrainian attack on its territory in the early hours of Sunday morning, which reportedly killed at least four people in the city of Belgorod. Interesting development. Not very wise for Ukraine to do that, because Russia has it in its policies that the use of nuclear weapon is justified if the Russian territory, the Russian territorial integrity, and the safety of the Russian people themselves is threatened on Russian territory. So we have seen here in the region west of Lysychansk, there were Russian strikes. We can see it here, some smoke in the background.
А також велика кількість поранених та вбитих. Тримаємось ми разом. Найбільший обстріл Слов'янська за останній час.
So it seems that the strikes of Russia have progressed westernly, even further western than Lysychansk, and we can see here Kramatorsk right here is being targeted, and you can see the progression of the line now includes both Severodonetsk and Lysychansk, and the Russian forces are now striking at advanced points. There's also some strike happening in Slovyansk. So perhaps the completion of this road here becomes the next target if Putin decides to continue the progression onto Ukraine. So it looks like if this road was taken over, it would make sense with respect to the strikes that we see in Kramatorsk, and it would also be a close-in. The same way they have closed this V right here, progressively advancing the southeastern front. You could imagine a southeastern front progressing like that and advancing over the cities until this whole area is conquered. That's if Vladimir Putin believes that he wants more territory than he's already acquired. Meanwhile, the Kharkiv center here, not much action, but we've seen strikes happening, so it will be interesting to see what Vladimir Putin decides to do with this. Will he be satisfied by stopping here, or does he want Kharkiv and continue the progression? It all depends on how he feels about the war of attrition that's been happening. I think in general, time has shown to be on the side of Putin. So because Putin doesn't care about winning the social media war instantly within 24 hours, he cares about winning the war on the ground. Time is very much on his side, especially when he succeeds at putting his grasp around a city and making it very hard for them to get reinforcement, cutting them from deliveries with airstrikes and artillery to pound them to the ground. He could very well decide at some point that Kharkiv becomes a goal again. Or he could decide a more decent goal around here and close this V right here. I don't know what will happen, but we'll be following it. As Rakul says, Russia will take a lot more land and they will take their time doing it. That would be a beautiful strategy, because I think that one of the things you have to respect on the Russian side is that they're running a war of attrition that they can sustain in time. It's like they care about the expenses. They didn't even use their most advanced weaponry and missiles. They've been going old-style artillery and just, here's the cheapest bombs we got, let's send millions of them. You have to respect this strategy, because Ukraine on their side doesn't seem to be able to sustain their efforts. They make extremely unequal drives here and there, trying a counterattack here and there. We're not even sure that their counterattacks are counterattacks proper or whether they are just Russian troop withdrawal. It seems that they're not able to handle time the way Russia is. And Russia is also an economic superpower compared to Ukraine. So an economic superpower has the advantage that they have the flow of food, material that Ukraine cannot count on. Blood and Biden says the plan is for Coach Red Pill to sneak back in and take Kharkiv by himself. That would be epic. Horacio says, how will this development affect the value of Coachcoin? Coachcoin is currently, I'm bearish on Coachcoin because since the arrest by the Ukrainian authorities, I think that Coach will be intimidated, and I don't know, this cannot spell anything good for the blockchain, you know, if Coach cannot fully have his servers holding the blockchain in Kharkiv, I don't know what will happen with the Coachcoin. Be careful and sell! Russian missile strike in Kramatorsk. We're seeing the results of a strike here. So again, west of Lysychansk. So it seems that, you know, these strikes have often announced the future target of Putin. So when you see them strike along this long road that would complete the V that they have already established, that makes me think this road may be in the plans. Pineapple Platypotamus says there's a lot of mutual respect there. Me and Coach, I highly respect Coach. And by the way, whenever I talk about the Coach coin, I'm joking. Because there's no Coach coin. The colossal untapped value of asteroids in the asteroid belt that lies between Mars and Jupiter, there is an almost unfathomable amount of resources waiting to be utilized. So they're counting the value of the metals on the meteorite. 26.99 quintillion US dollar. Quintillion. So that's that much zeros. That many zeros, sorry. It is a carbonaceous chondrite asteroid, and contains water, nickel, iron, cobalt, nitrogen, ammonia, and hydrogen. I, for one, will be a party pooper on the side of asteroid mining. I'll tell you now, I don't think we'll get to a point where asteroid mining is any viable economically. The cost to send something in space is too high. It's very easy to send a drone and to think, oh my god, imagine with a drone. It's much less easy to calculate just how much can this drone bring back. And it's the only way you're going to financially live from an asteroid would be if you could slow it down and crash it very slowly onto planet Earth. That won't happen. But that would be the only way in which we can bring that value. Because the little robot that you send on the asteroid, okay, so we remove the human factor, we remove the human risk, and potentially it would get financially viable to send the robot. But you're going to be mining rocks. Those are big pieces of rocks that will contain only a percentage of the metal you're after. When the robot brings back its 5 pounds of rock, you're going to get a millimeter cube of gold from it. These things are doable on Earth, but they are extremely wasteful and extremely costly to do on Earth. They are basically impossible to do in space. You won't be able to refine on the asteroid. You will have too many costs to bring it back, and what you bring back will be way too small. All of it will fail. Firestarter says there's gold at the center of the sun, too. Yes, I'm sure there is. You're never going to get it. That's the problem. No federal training for 40,000 unvaccinated members of the Army National Guard after deadline may face possible expulsion. Nearly 40,000 Army National Guard personnel who refuse to take the experimental COVID vaccine after the deadline will be barred from participating in federal training and may face financial fines or possible expulsion. The American army is falling apart anyway. This is an attempt by the Democrats to filter out the right-wingers from the army and replace them with LGBT people who will never come to the army. I mean, the leftists are not interested in joining the army. They will because they think they can collect a salary, but they're not going to be good fighters. So the American military is falling apart. If you add 40, if they're real about firing these 40,000 people, the American military will look very weak. Other than, of course, through its missiles, America is very powerful, but its forces in terms of amount of soldiers will be significantly cut. I don't know what will happen with this because I think that the soldiers will have some leverage of negotiation. I think they might start a Supreme Court case eventually. And I think they might even win it. I think it makes no sense to be forcing this vaccine knowing that it doesn't stop the spread. If it doesn't stop the spread, then it's a personal medical decision. If supposedly this vaccine, all it does is protect you from severe disease, I'm not sure about it, by the way, but suppose we grant this, then it's a personal decision. Oratio says, who would win in a fight, Vladimir Putin or Boogie 2988? Does Boogie have the option of having his gun and, you know, the same gun that he had, which brought him to jail? Or are we talking a fist-to-fist fight? Fist-to-fist, I would give it to Vladimir Putin. Will Dobbs energize the Democrats, Dobbs being the decision that Roe v. Wade is abolished? Primary turnout in key blue state indicates weak response to SCOTUS abortion ruling. See, that's an interesting outcome. As much as you'll see noise in the mainstream media about Roe v. Wade, the fact is that people don't care all that much about it. You need to be kind of a far-left extremist to be like, my body! The religious people are attacking my body! It's not... Your normie doesn't really care. They're willing to deal with society one way or the other. They're kind of disgusted by abortion anyway, so... And they also understand that there will be Democrat states where you can get your abortion forever, whenever you want it. So in the end, it doesn't show in the turnout that people are pissed against the Roe v. Wade decision. And the Democrats are going to have a very hard time making this as much of an emotional thing that the anti-Trump hate was. Because the anti-Trump hate had been circulated by CNN for 4 years. And it was bash, bash, bash. And it was social media censorship combined with CNN bashing on an everyday basis, combined with MSNBC conspiracy theories by Rachel Maddow. It was like, it was really the creation. People didn't so much vote Trump out. They voted the news cycle out of their lives. I'm not sure they're going to be able to grab people by the emotion as much with the Roe v. Wade thing. By the way, I was talking about building my shed. Robert in our Discord has shown me the shed that he's building. Pretty nice work, man. Pretty nice work, Robert. This is definitely nicer than what I'm producing, because what I'm producing is not really a shed. It's a little building for just logs. So it's a building that you can't really enter comfortably because it arrives approximately at this height. It's really a building to deposit logs in it. But this is nice. This is nice. 2x2, 2x4, a whole structure in 2x4, square for the crossing. Yeah, I mean, it's totally fine on blocks of cement. This can last as long as you maintain it and care for it. And as long as this is not a soil where you expect flood or anything, you're going to be totally fine, I think. It's going to keep itself. And if you paint it well, particularly on those places that could be exposed to humidity and water, you're going to be protecting it from humidity and water. There's no reason it's ever going to fall. Beautiful work. Don't forget, if you are in a very windy place, don't forget to attach it to the cement block so that the wind doesn't... But perhaps you've already done it. Perhaps there are screws in there. So that the wind doesn't make it fall or anything. Personally, I build with 2x6. Even my small miniature shed for logs, I built it with 2x6. Just a feeling that I want something even stronger, that can handle more weight. And considering that I have to face the weight of the snow, there is a lot of snow accumulation, and I'm like, 2x4 certainly would survive, but would it bend? Would it, across the years, would it accumulate damage? So I went with 2x6 for both the floor and the ceiling. Sam says, what if there are many who will fall in line with the new norm and accept abortion bans, not really changing their mind because they were never thinking about the issue, just following the social norm? Yeah, I think it's what will happen. In fact, I think we'll be seeing a lot of restriction abortion in neutral states, in states that are half and half Republican Democrat. You might even see some in the Democrat states. Because the reality is, the people who are for abortion are engaged in a moral display about my body, my choice, woman, woman, woman. But they don't truly love abortion. It's a liberty that's so much harder to defend than free speech. Free speech is easy. Abortion is like, you're killing a baby. You're killing a baby. And even Democrats are disgusted by abortion on average. Someone sent me a Veritasium video from 4 days ago. Very interesting. The riddle that seems impossible, even if you know the answer. He presents this riddle where there's 100 boxes, and each of the boxes have a number in them, from 1 to 100. But the number on the box is not indicative of the number in the box. The number in the box is randomly shuffled. The question is, if you send 100 prisoners into the room, one by one, the prisoners cannot communicate with each other once they're in the room, and then they have to exit the room and leave the room untouched, and the prisoners can open 50 boxes, 50 of the 100 boxes, and they keep the number that they find in the box in mind, and then they exit the room. The whole idea is, if the 100 prisoner, if each of them finds their number, so each prisoner is assigned a number. So let's say the first prisoner, we say, you have to find 33. He tries 50% of the boxes, gets out of the room. The other, we say, you need to find number 9. Tries 50 boxes, exits the room. If all of the 100 prisoners succeed at finding their number, everyone lives. If any single prisoner doesn't find their number, they kill all the prisoners. So the odds that this happens, the odds that the prisoners will survive, are astronomically small, because the first prisoner has a 50% chance of getting his number. The second has 50% chance. The third has 50% chance. So you do 0.5 times 0.5 times 0.5 times 0.5 times 0.5, and you end up that you have 0.0000000. You have an astronomically small chance of all the prisoners finding their number. But there's a trick. There's a trick that he presents, which actually brings back their chance, instead of being astronomically small, to 30% chance of surviving. And it's mind-boggling, because it's counterintuitive, and you're like, how can you mess with the randomness of this? It doesn't seem like you can beat this. How can you turn an astronomically small chance to a 30% chance surviving? And even when you get the answer, as the title points out, it seems like there's a catch, but no, there's no catch. It works. So the strategy is as follows. The prisoners, before entering the room, they can talk. They can develop a strategy. The strategy is as follows. enter the room. The first box you look at is the one with your number on it. So if this prisoner is number 49, he's going to go get the box 49. The ticket that you find in the box take that number and go look into that box. Let's say he picked 67. Go look at 67. The number that comes from that box, go look at that box. So let's say the number is 54. He goes to 54. This creates loops because the only way all the prisoners will start at some point, at some box, and they will all follow a loop structure. And the idea is, if there are no loops bigger than 51 boxes, if it just turns out that the random spreading of these numbers is such that all loops close smaller than 50 boxes, then they will all live, because then any prisoner will always end up finding his number by starting from his own numbers. Because if all loops are smaller than 50, and if the prisoner starts with his own number, then inevitably within his 50 attempts, he's going to loop back to the right box that ends up giving his number. Now, how does it work? How can you turn an astronomically small chance into a big chance in this context, which is 30% chance? Because there's 70% chance that there will be a loop that's 51 boxes long, and if it's 51 boxes long, you'll do your 50 attempts. You won't find your number, you'll be dead. The way this system works is by pooling the failures together. The idea is, if each individual makes an individual decision, they're only 50% likely to find their number. It's a good rate, 50%. It's better than 30%. But the fact is that the next player also has 50%. The next player also has 50%. So they're all playing against you in a way. The loop strategy seeks to coordinate wins and coordinate failures. Because the idea is, if one of the prisoners, if one of the 100 prisoners doesn't find their number, then it's not worth anything for anyone else. It's not even worth playing the game. Everyone will die. So the idea is, since everyone will die, let us make sure that we fail hard or win hard. And by pooling all these statistical failures together and pooling the wins together, you can increase the overall success of the community at the expense of individual success. But in this scenario, individual success doesn't matter. So I recommend you watch the video. It's a very interesting take. Surprisingly, Veritasium didn't give it the community signification that I just gave it. He doesn't talk about communism. He doesn't talk about leftism. He really talks about the math problem. But it's definitely a math problem where people are incentivized to work together rather than seek individual success. Not that this changes my view as a libertarian, but it's interesting to think, okay, there might be worlds in which communism is the best way to go. And this is definitely one of those worlds. Interesting video by Veritasium. Robert Paulson has sent a super chat. He says, excited about the sticks debate. Come up with anything new? What is the basic form of your father's rights argument? Have you refined your ideas about hypocrisy of the criminality of embryo rape? Now, the whole embryo rape is definitely not at the center of my argument. It's only if we get into the weeds of, is the embryo a person, and I really don't like these weeds, so I will try avoiding it. The basis of my argument goes as follows. We all love liberty. Me and Styx, we both love liberty. But when your liberty impacts the life, liberty, and decisions of another being, liberty can be curtailed in our system, even in an idealistic libertarian system. There would have to be a spelling out of what is an act of aggression. Am I committing an act of aggression if I'm listening to music on my land, but it's super loud and it's keeping you from sleeping? There would have to be a law that says that's an act of aggression and that's not an act of aggression. So even if you want to believe in the purest form of the non-aggression principle, there remains some work for a state to determine what is it going to be in the end. What are we going to pay attention to? What are we not going to pay attention to? Abortion is one of these cases where multiple people can be hurt by a decision to abort. First, if the baby was produced consensually, there is a legitimate action. One moment. There is a legitimate argument that the father who consensually produced this baby had an expectation that there would be a baby coming out, that there wouldn't be willful destruction of this baby. It's a reasonable thing to expect in marriage and out of marriage when you have sexual relationships. So that's the first. There is a problem in aborting a baby at the request of a female, given that this baby may represent a promise to a living being. And a promise to a living being is a contract. And when we hold people accountable for the commitments that they take, let's say when we tell a company, all right, you signed that contract, you didn't respect it, you have to pay this guy $1 million because you didn't respect your side of the contract. Are we stepping over the liberty of the company? Not really. We are holding it to its liberty to sign contracts and to live by the statements in this contract. The same is true of the reproductive contract. When a woman accepts to have sex with a man, she is signaling to his genes, you have a shot. You have a shot at surviving to the next generation. And that promise can be considered a contract, and could be considered in a given society as a contract. Now, no doubt, some societies will decide, no, it's not a contract. The contract starts when the baby is born. You owe respect to life once the baby is born, and you owe rights to the father once the baby is born. But it's definitely a legitimate conception of society that the reproductive act itself, the fact of having sex without a condom, is a promise. Not a 100% promise, because there may not be a baby every time being born from an act of sex, but a probabilistic promise that there's a chance there will be a baby. Now, there's no chance if ultimately the woman has decided in her head already that she would eliminate that baby. So there is a legitimate space of legislation for a state to decide that's how we want to live. We want to live where if a baby will be produced by a sperm and an egg following a consensual act of reproduction, we will hold the person bearing the baby responsible for its care until he's born. Definitely, there is a space left by the United States Constitution for this to happen. And in fact, I would argue it's a better society that does this. Because the alternative society to this, the society that says, no, there is no contract, there is no commitment, sex is just sex. Sex is just the moment where it happens. Not anything after, not anything before. That society is a society that favors polygamy, instability of family, instability of marriage, and ultimately hurt of children, both unborn, killed by abortion, and born. Because it's a society in which the female is not expected to be able to take any form of commitment. And that is the root of the destruction of the modern family. So it is very important that we let exist in America states, societies that have decided that life matters, that sex is the biological act that accomplishes the function of reproduction, and that sex in a modern society comes with a contract against the consequences that may happen from sex, which everyone knows. So this whole banalization of sex, of modern society, is an error. And it's an error that passes largely because of birth control, various contraceptive devices, and abortion. It's good that we strike at the heart of this very toxic meme that sex isn't for the purpose of making babies, and the abolishment of Roe v. Wade just did that. That is my argument that I will make to sticks. I will probably be find different ways to phrase it, but that is the heart of it. Now, yes, I might bring the idea that, you know, sticks wouldn't rape an embryo, but here he is advocating for killing that embryo. Because if sticks took his dick and just masturbated into the elbow of an embryo, definitely something wrong would have been committed. Call it rape, call it what you want. Definitely something wrong would have been committed. But amazingly, if instead of a dick, sticks took forceps and started dismantling the body of this embryo, somehow that would be okay. Somehow that would be, in fact, legal, and he could have medical help performing that action. That is a state of thing that is bizarre in our society and that we've maintained just because ultimately Roe v. Wade was the beginning of female special privileges in America. Because there is not a man in America for whom the Supreme Court will creatively interpret the words in the Constitution. There's no justices that will try to extend for a man all sorts of rights that weren't written in there. And yet we did it for women, and it was an error. So that error has been repaired. Mom agonizes about how to reach her son, a man with a Buddha tattoo who turned to hate. Mama JF is here. Always coming in the studio when the subject of abortion comes in.
No, it's just because talking about the destruction of the family, okay?
Okay.
Yesterday we watched Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, yes. It's good. I was annoyed. I was having difficulty starting to watch it, but Mama JF forced me for a couple episodes. I enjoyed. You eye raped me.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and yes, and in the Stranger Thing, they are so much complaining. They're like, you don't want to do a nuclear family, just like your parents.
Oh yeah,
so boring.
They throw a couple of anti-family comments, but I don't know that the Stranger Thing itself is anti-family, but they are featuring young people who are anti-family as characters. But that's how you would represent a young child today, right? they're all anti-traditional family, basically.
I don't know. They always do that since the 60s. Like,
yes.
They always say that.
They push hard on this.
It's like the evil, not the nuclear family.
Yes.
And, oh, wait, but it still worked on the girl. She's like the best of her school and everything, so it still worked.
Yes. Mama JF was pointing out that the girl who complains against the nuclear family, she's the best at school. She's so this is a proof that she has benefited basically from a privilege that she rejects as a young leftist, but that she still has, and she's benefited from it. Sliced Bread says, interesting way to look at it. We are as superstitious and religious as our ancients, but our religion is based on the sanctity of medical devices and procedures. You can do almost anything in that context, like their priest in a temple, sacrificing babies, making eunuchs. We do it too. Yes, there is a sanctification of the technological and scientific sectors. Like, the way in which these leftists come and will tell you, the science says... It's unbelievable because science doesn't have even the capacity to make the moral statements that they make. Science is a good tool if you want to figure out, all right, within a window of 6 months, how many deaths am I going to get from this vaccine? How many deaths am I not going to get from this vaccine? And even that basic function of science, we have difficulty doing it. Because of all the incentives and the pressure to find that the vaccine is okay. But yeah, going further and claiming that somehow science can tell you whether you should get the vaccine if you're 7 years old and you have a grandma and maybe grandma's gonna die from COVID, but could you stop it with the vaccine? All of this is way too complex for any scientific study to address. Sliced Bread says, exactly, science only tells us what will happen, not what should happen. Absolutely. We have to completely repel the leftists who are trying to... They've been increasingly using it. I've even seen on this show a science article that was saying... we shouldn't ban abortion because the science says that abortion is better. The science doesn't say this. The science could inform you on some basic facts about how parents who have chosen abortion turn out in life. But it's not going to tell you that it's better. And if you really want to show the cost of abortion, look at the difference of happiness between a female who reaches 40 years old and who has 10 babies versus a female who reaches 40 years old and has 0 babies. Science, the problem is they're never going to make a scientific study about that. How about you make a scientific study about that? How about you interview all of these childless women and how they feel at the end of their lives? Broga says, JF, have you ever used the Duran as a source of information regarding the recent Russia/Ukraine events? Never. Never, and it's not that I don't respect the source. I think they do something interesting for the audience. But I don't like this discussion format where someone comes in and claims to know things. And just I watched the Duran to watch Coach Red Pill at some point. Definitely, that's a good thing. Interviewing Coach Red Pill is a good idea to have first-hand knowledge. But I don't like this over-interpretation of the details of the day because I don't think the people who spoke that I heard have as much knowledge as they are displaying. You know, they are showing that level of knowledge, and that's their true level of knowledge. It's just a little too much. So I wouldn't trust the outlet. If I was to just randomly watch a minute of this show, I wouldn't necessarily trust it as fact. I would know that the person speaking has seen something on Telegram, and perhaps I would do my own research on Telegram and see what was the source of this. But it's second tier, not by very long, not very far from first tier, but it's second tier war internet commenting. And I don't want to criticize them, because ultimately what they do is much better than 99% of what's out there, but still not good enough for a hard science guy like me. Sliced Bread says Jeff would even watch Warski to watch CRP. Yeah, I mean, if there's someone who's interesting, I will want to hear them. Yes. Broga says the Durans Alex Mercury has a name that makes him sound like he is sexually attracted to mermaids, but doesn't have the courage to try anything with them. Are you sure you're not projecting, bro? Because I look at the name you gave, I don't see the mermaid. So... Is it possible you're projecting here? I think you're seeing too much into the name of the guy. Mom agonizes about how to reach her son, a man with a Buddha tattoo who turned to hate. Karen Amsden was chatting to her son in the driveway while picking up her grandchildren when she mentioned something about a quote by Anne Frank, one of the most famous victims of the Nazis, who wrote a haunting diary before she was captured and murdered in the Holocaust. He just said something about, that's not even real. Oh my God. Her son has started to deny the Holocaust. What a terrible direction to take in life. What I loved about this article is that the CNN journalist contacted him, and I want to find it again. I want to phrase it exactly the way they phrase it. When CNN reached out to Boyce to ask about his views, he responded by texting a video of a drag queen dancing in public in front of a large audience before their costume tears and exposes genitalia. He is a man of few words. I love it. I love this guy. I love his response to the CNN journalist. It's self-explanatory. He responded by texting a video of a drag queen dancing in public in front of a large audience before their costume tears and exposes genitalia. I think that's going to be my response in the future. I think it's what I'm going to do to any journalist who contacts me. So much more efficient than my attempts at engaging with them. This guy has been has had his conviction overturned. The hot car death of a 22-month-old Cooper Harris was heartbreakingly familiar. His father's unusual murder conviction has now been thrown out. So it's a special case where the prosecution went so hard against this guy, because normally it's like accidental death or neglect. But this guy was found guilty of murder. And the prosecution had shown the jury that somehow this guy was a pervert, a sexual pervert who was, and they made the case that he was tired of having a child, and that's why he intentionally killed the child by heat death, by leaving him inside the car. Now, there were several pieces of evidence that were pointing to he had done some research on Google. How do children die in cars? How much time does it take before a child dies in a car? But at the same time, you know, a normal parent can make that kind of research because they want to protect their children. But it appears that he had driven to different places, that he even... we're talking about 7 hours, basically. The amount of time where the child was in the car unsupervised. How can you forget your child for hours like this? How does it happen? Anyways, I'm not sure I'm for the overturning, because basically what the Supreme Court has said is they have put way too much emphasis on the sexual perversion of this guy, and they've basically not made truly a case that he had committed a murder, but just a case that he was a horrible human being. That makes sense. That makes sense. But still, when you look at the case, there might have been a basis in the evidence that led the jury to believe, all right, this guy looks like he intentionally killed his child through heat death. And so personally, I would probably not have reverted the case, but I understand that if you tint the evidence with things that shouldn't have been admissible, you have ultimately violated the rights of this guy. So I'm pretty neutral on this question. Either way, certainly not a happy story. Several NYC election sites had no Republican ballots during last week's primary. Last week's primary voting in New York City was a complete debacle, as the city's Board of Elections botched everything from polling locations opening late because of lost keys to missing equipment to unannounced relocations of voting sites and to even a lack of Republican ballots across at least 3 Big Apple election sites. Unbelievable. They are setting it in a way that they'll only get the answer they want, which is Democrat voters voting in the primary, but Republicans being denied that opportunity. Sliced Bread says, imagine if Brian Laundrie had walked by the car and seen the kid having hyperthermia, he would he would probably euthanize him. Oh my god. Oh my god, that is quite the joke, Sliced Bread. I imagine Brian Laundrie walking around. Hey, are you feeling okay? No, need my help? No, I'm okay. I'm not feeling cold, Brian. I'm not feeling cold. Leave me alone, Brian. I don't need your help. I'm all good. Oh, are you sure you don't need an euthanasia? No. No euthanasia. I'm good. You're saying you don't feel cold? Are you feeling hot? No, Brian, I'm feeling exactly at the right temperature. Neither cold nor hot. Robert Paulson says the extreme temperature killer. The guy. Brian Laundrie really wanted people to be comfortable. Brian Laundrie really wanted people to be at their best temperature. Callum Oxworth. I'm sorry, this is too funny. Colin Oxworth says Jeff better watch out with his new radiator. This is too funny. Misdirection. Misdirection or misunderstanding. Bezos blast Biden, blaming gas station owners for high prices. Do we need to give prospective presidents an economic literacy test? There's little doubt that by judging by this tweet, Joe Biden would get an F. My message to the companies running gas stations and setting prices at the pump is simple. This is a time of war and global peril. Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you're paying for the product, and do it now. It's already what they're doing, Joe Biden. It's not like the gas stations have become billionaires recently. The gas stations are just running their business and they're seeing higher gas prices. Jeff Bezos says, ouch, inflation is far too important a problem for the White House to keep making statements like this. It's either straight ahead misdirection or a deep misunderstanding of basic market dynamics. The gas stations are selling the gas at the price that they can. This is not even a matter of gas stations. This is a matter of distribution, production, offer and demand. And it shows just how much you have to care about these things for the society to work in a well-oiled fashion. There remains a problem with the Supreme Court ruling that ended Roe. So now in this outlet, they are talking about the fact that we haven't ended abortion in America. In fact, it's not going to be ended. There's going to be states, and it's probably going to be the very populous states where abortion is still happening. So for those religious people who are truly against the principle of abortion, they're not going to have what they wanted. They're merely going to be able to not have abortions around them. New York governor to require 3 years of social media history to obtain concealed carry permit within an hour of the Supreme Court U.S. decision striking down a law which required New York residents to show proper cause to obtain a concealed carry license. Governor Kathy Hochul promised legislation to counter the ruling. So you're going to have to give a 3-year history of your social media. It looks like I couldn't get a gun in New York, I guess. I'm exactly the kind of guy that would be denied these licenses because they would be like, well, you've talked about Ukraine in that way, and you have said this about this community. And it's unfair. It's unfair. It's really a way to combat ideological opponents for the left and to spot these people who think differently and punish them. I would hope that this gets to a Supreme Court case eventually, but it's going to oppress so many people in the meantime. It's going to take years before someone gets denied and that someone actually doesn't have anything wrong on his social media, and yet they decide to withhold the guns from him. Horrible. Sam says, update, a 1,000% increase in regime-compliant New York-based social media accounts being started today. Yeah, there's also the question, I mean, this is compelled speech. You're basically saying, if you want your Second Amendment right, you're going to have to stay calm on social media, not say this, not say that. Absolutely horrible. Global nuclear capacity needs to double to meet net zero goal. I agree. Not even caring about the net zero goal, we have to develop nuclear electricity. I don't understand why we don't have 20 times more nuclear power plants in the developed world. It's absolute nonsense. We should be building bigger and bigger and bigger nuclear power plants. Seems like free energy to me. It's as close as it gets to free energy. DK Shadow says, friend says it right. Exactly. You have these atoms, they're they're basically leaking energy. They're willing to give you something. They're willing to heat anything. All you have to do is put these atoms together, mix in the right amount, and you get heat, which you can then use to produce electricity. Amazon, this will be our last news item. Amazon cancels or delays plans for at least 16 warehouses this year after spending billions doubling the size of its fulfillment network during the pandemic. Amazon finds itself in a perilous position. In the first quarter of 2022, the e-commerce giant reported a $3.8 billion net loss after raking in an $8.1 billion profit in Q1. That includes $6 billion in added costs, the bulk of which can be traced back to that same fulfillment network. The Amazon is in a very weird position. They've been making so much money before, but then something went wrong. I guess it's they kept their prices, they kept their employees, and yet the machine turned down a little bit in terms of consumers needing them. So I think they are in that weird position. But it's not a terrible position to be in, because Amazon can always make adjustments. What should happen at Amazon, probably, although I would be very unhappy about this. Personally, I would not benefit from this. But what Amazon should do is start charging the actual price that it costs to give all those free shipping. Like, the fact is, shipping cannot be free. They have to pay for it. So stop giving free shipping to your customers. Increase your prices, increase your percentages of profits that you take on every item, increase your fees, fire all of your employees. This is what Amazon needs to do. But they're so customer obsessed, I know, because I worked with them, I worked for them. I was an Amazon call center customer service type of guy. And they're like, oh, we have to deliver to the people, you know. We have to make people happy. Replace them all with robots. Exactly. That's what they need to do. But will they do it? I don't know. But for now, they're still in that very early obsession of an early company that absolutely wants to develop a rapport with their clientele. But we're not there anymore. Everyone knows what Amazon is. Everyone loves Amazon. It's really great. Now start charging. Now start profiting. John Drake says, no, waste isn't the problem. I once thought it was. I've looked into this. I was amazed at how safe it actually is. Yeah, I've come to understand better the whole nuclear reaction thing. And yeah, it's pretty much under control. Nuclear power plants will not blow up in a nuclear explosion. So, yeah, let's build some. Thomas O'Ward says, you pay an annual Prime membership fee to gain the free shipping perk. No, that's the problem. Amazon keeps giving me free shipping and I'm not a Prime member. That's the problem. It's that they try to sell you this Prime membership crap, but if you hold your side and you say, no, I don't want it, remind me in 30 days, I'm not interested. No, sir, I'm not interested. At the end, they're going to give you free shipping, even if you're not a Prime member. And then they're like, don't you want to be a Prime member for free for 30 days? And I'm like, okay. I'm going to be a Prime member for free. And then I will cancel that membership at 29 days before you charge anything to me. They're too kind. That's the problem with Amazon. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, what is your opinion of CERN turning on this week? Turning back online? Okay. I didn't know. I don't have a big opinion other than, in general, shouldn't we stop building these particle accelerators? Like, seriously, there's the meme of a black hole showing at the particle accelerator and swallowing the Earth. Yeah, you know, we have to seriously consider that there might be a level of energy that we reach one day where something like this, something catastrophic, could happen. I don't want to reach that level of energy. Haha, Sliced Bread says, it doesn't concern JF. That's not as good of a joke that you've done earlier. Fractal Man says, geothermal is very underutilized. It requires a huge initial outlay, but the maintenance is low and the energy keeps coming. Oh yeah, I'm fascinated by geothermal, which is exactly why I started the show explaining that I'm going to make my own do-it-yourself geothermal AC. I noticed that just naturally, the water that we pump in the house is very, very cold. And so I'm going to extract that cold from water using this radiator system. I've bought an automated ball valve that will allow me to schedule. I can say, all right, turn on for 30 seconds, or turn on for 1 minute, or turn on for 5 minutes. So I will calculate what's the efficiency of various amounts of water circulation, because I don't want water to constantly flow. I just want a fresh part of water to fill the radiator, and then I'll have a fan also on a scheduled, automatically controlled schedule that will just blow wind maybe for 1 minute and then refill with water. 1 minute, refill with water, 1 minute. I'm sitting on a cold mine. This is what I said 2 years ago when I noticed that the tap water was extremely cold. Of course, I'm not on a city system, so the city will not accuse me, I guess, of stealing water from them. I'm pumping my own water from nature, and it's cold. So we're going to see the result, and I'm going to do a show about it, if that works. Firestarter says, would geothermal mean heat from the earth? Well, geothermal is the idea of extracting heat or cold from the soil. Very often it's heat, but you can also do cold, because there are parts of the soil that are colder at certain depth, and then it gets hotter at very, very high depth. In my case, my well is located apparently just at the height where I can get something cool from it, but not something hot. So that will be what I'm doing. I'll try this and I'll make a show about the results and how much temperature drop can I get from a single unit. If that works, I'll definitely have all these units in all of my rooms. If that's powerful enough for a single room, I don't mind buying 4, 5, 6, whatever is needed. Fractal Man says, Jeff, you are talking about two different things. No, see? It's the same thing. What I'm telling you is, I understand that my do-it-yourself system will not generally be named or referred to as geothermal. But I'm telling you, it's the exact same thing. What they do is they drill, they get to a place of earth that has a temperature differential, and they drain the energy from that temperature differential. It's exactly what I'm going to do. It just turns out that the well was already drained, that the temperature differential, I just noticed it, but it's geothermal. It's Papa JF, geothermal company. Silver Spider says, Jeff, I thought geo meant earth. Geometry is measuring of earth? No, I mean geo, like geography is the idea of, yeah, characterizing the earth, measuring the earth. and geothermal means exploiting the temperature differentials that are existing in the ground of the Earth. That's it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.